Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now that's just one sentence from Peter's sermon on that day of Pentecost. But it speaks volumes about Jesus' person and our relationship to him. The first thing to notice is the evidence of the battle being waged between God and the devil. Peter says to the crowd, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, it's possible that there could have been in attendance in that crowd some who had been in the crowd earlier shouting, crucify him, crucify him, when Jesus was on trial before Pilate. But they were just pawns in a larger battle. The devil was at work to take creation away from God's control. In the parable of the wicked tenants that Jesus told, the devil is really the one who was saying, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. That's the self-deception of sin. It begins with the devil, who is the father of lies, lying to himself. We see it with Adam and Eve, who accept the devil's lie. We see it in everyone who doesn't believe. They are living with the illusion that they are in control, that they can not only be like God, but that they are God. They think that their truth can take the place of God's truth. The devil really believed that if he could destroy the Son, then all of creation would be his. And on Good Friday, it looked like he was right. The Son of God went to the cross, and he died, and he was buried. But as Peter proclaimed, quoting from Psalm 16, God would not let his Holy One see decay. He would not abandon him to the grave. Jesus rose from the dead. God made him both Lord and Christ. So the devil and his minions can do their worst. The Jewish leaders and Roman authorities could put him to death. But that didn't stop God's saving work from being accomplished. Man can do whatever he wants. The devil can strike with all his power, and not even death can prevent God from making Jesus both Lord and Christ. And that's good news for us and for all of God's creation. He did not abandon us to the powers of sin and death, but overcame them by his life. So now we come to the titles, Lord and Christ. What do they mean? Oh, Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, Old Testament language. He is the great deliverer. He is the one who broke the chains of sin and death that held us captive. He's the sacrificial lamb who took upon himself the wrath of God against our sin. He died so that we could live. And having risen from the dead, he is now Lord of all creation. And he is Lord of his church. And he is our Lord. That term, Lord, is one that we as Americans have a hard time relating to because we haven't lived under a king or lord since the revolutionary days of the late 1700s. So what does that term Lord mean today? Well, because Jesus is both true man and true God, that term certainly has a connection to Yahweh, the name that God gave to Moses. In John 8, Jesus said that very thing when challenged by the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am." And they picked up stones to stone him. They did that because he spoke that name, and no one was to speak that name. For a man to speak that name, it was blasphemy. But Jesus took it one step further. Not only did he speak the name, but he said, "It's me. The great I am is here with you, in your midst, in your presence, today, in this place." And they picked up stones to stone him. In the Small Catechism, Luther says, "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord." In the Large Catechism, Luther also writes, "What is it to become a Lord? It means he has redeemed me from sin, from the devil, from death, and from all evil. Before this, I had no Lord and King, but was captive under the power of the devil, and I was condemned to death and entangled in sin and blindness. There was no counsel, no help, no comfort for us until this only and eternal Son of God had mercy on our misery and wretchedness and came from heaven to help us. Those tyrants and jailers, sin, death, and the devil, have now been routed, and in their place has been taken by Christ, the Lord of life, righteousness, and every good and blessing. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, came into this world not just to defeat the power of sin, death, and the devil, but to overthrow them, to take their place in our lives. He will not abandon us. He will not leave us to become like sheep without a shepherd. As Luther says again in the Large Catechism, he has taken us as his own, under his protection, in order that he may rule us by his righteousness, wisdom, power, life, and blessedness. Jesus as Lord and Christ now rules us. We are under his care and protection. Every scripture passage that talks about the care and protection of the Good Shepherd is a reference to Jesus and his role as our Lord. Psalm 23 is a good summary of Jesus' work as our Lord and his relationship with us. Because he is our shepherd, we will not be in want. He will lead us to green pastures and quiet waters. He will lead us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because he is with us. He prepares a banquet for us in the presence of our enemies where he restores our soul. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That will happen because he is our Lord, the King of all creation. And that last part is a picture of Jesus' invitation to join him at his table in the Lord's Supper. It's an opportunity for us really to step out of this world and quite literally into Psalm 23, into that relationship of sheep to the shepherd who cares for their souls. The shepherd is the Lord of the sheep who cares for their daily needs, who stands between them and the wolves. Jesus as Lord does not, after delivering us from the tyrants of sin, death, and the devil, then sit alone up in his castle to leave us to fend for ourselves. Do the best you can. He walks among us. We are his treasured possession. He knows us by name. As Lord, Jesus is indeed the supreme authority over all other powers and dominions. But he doesn't lord it over us. He doesn't burden us with oppressive labors to gain his favor. He does put his yoke upon us so that he can lead us in his will and his ways, so that he can lead us through the valleys where we encounter enemies at every turn, so that he can lead us to that banqueting table where he restores our souls. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the shepherd talking to his sheep. That's our Lord talking to us, his dearly loved children, telling us to follow him, to live in the gift that is ours in him, to live in the life that has come to us through the forgiveness of our sins and through the freedom from the chains of sin and death, to live in that freedom that Jesus has won for us. Because Jesus is our Lord, no matter what we encounter in this life, no matter how severe the trial or how dark the shadow of death may appear to be, we are safe in his hands. Not even death can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Again, Luther's words ring true. "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him." No matter what the enemies of God attempt, they are defeated. Christ and his church will not be overcome. United together with our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and life, we are under his care and free from the chains of sin and death. The war is over. We win. Jesus' word to us today as our Lord is live as victors. Live in the victory that I have shared with you through the resurrection of the dead. Fear not. I am with you. I will never leave you. You are mine. And we together will indeed dwell in the house of our Lord forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.